Esta es tu radio, una radio diferente, divertida, donde informarte para descubrir, aprender, una radio única, como tú. Esto es Baugen Radio.
Hello, hello everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's Tuesday, the second day of the week, the second day of the season here on the Drive Time
Kyle,
Show.
How are you, boy?
Good, good. I'm doing all right. We have a nice show today. Tino, did you know that today is National Cheeseburger Day? Cheeseburger Day. We're going to celebrate Cheeseburger Day today. I'll talk a little bit about this. I know, me too, but I have a question for you. For the audience, I have a question about cheeseburgers. I'm going to pose that question. I'm going to ask. Another way of saying ask a question, to pose the question to you about your favorite cheeseburger. But let's see. We have, it's National Cheeseburger Day. We also have history. We're going to talk about a few interesting things in history. About a shopping mall in Canada that used to be the world's largest, and they set a world record on this day in 1981. I'll talk a little bit about the West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton in Canada. Also, the UFO sighting was officially filed by President Jimmy Carter on this day in 1973. We'll talk a little bit about that in our history section. And Jimi Hendrix is on the show. Well, he's not here. He's dead. He's not. But we're going to play some of his music, and we're going to talk about Jimi Hendrix because he passed away. Murió. He died on this day in 1970. So we're going to take a look at the song "Hey Joe," one of the classics from Jimi Hendrix. We'll get into that on the show today from the record "Are You Experienced," a classic of one of the all-time great rock and roll albums, really. And guitar rock albums. We also have some interesting facts about coffee. Oh my gosh, we might even have a phone-in guest in a little with a special announcement a little bit later on. We have lots to cover, everybody. Lots to talk about. Oh my gosh. Let's get things started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, the Drive Time Show. It's 6 o'clock. It's 4 minutes after 6 as we finally get off the ground with our Drive Time program. We've got lots to cover today. I have an interesting question for you, for the audience. But first, let's begin with the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Oh, yes, the Twitter translation. That part of the show where I give you a sentence on Twitter and over the radio, and you have to write in. We don't have to. You don't have to do it, but I would appreciate if you would write in to me via Twitter and tell me how to say it in English. Now, Tino, how can people find me on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller.
O lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Miller.
I'm Kyle Miller. That's right. Miller with an A. M-I-L-L-A-R. Like Millar. Anyway. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Se les pidió no fumar. Es que se les pidió no fumar. How would you say that in English? Now, there's an interesting grammar structure here. Oh, boy. I can see people writing in already, Tino. People are writing in. A lot of people writing in already, but I'm going to give you a half an hour. A half an hour, 30 minutes, and then we'll have a look at your responses. So write in, tell me what that is. Also, I want to get some life on Twitter. I want you to answer the following question. Today is National Cheeseburger Day. Now, when they say national, really they mean the United States. It's the United States where they have these crazy days. It seems every day is National whatever day. But today is National Cheeseburger Day. Now, I'm going to tell you the history. I'm going to tell you about this day in a minute, in our trending topic, in a few minutes. But I want to give you a head start. I want to give you antelación, right? I want to give you por adelantado, ¿no, Tino? Right? In advance, the opportunity to start sending me your answers. And my question is the following. Mi pregunta es la siguiente. Where is the best cheeseburger? Where do you get the best cheeseburger in your city? So if you're in Madrid, you might say, now I will comment on this later. I have my opinions. And in fact, Tino and I visited, that was a good burger, wasn't it, Tino? Tino and I were invited by the manager of the Five Guys Burgers on Gran Vía in Spain, in Madrid. And we went there and enjoyed that. That was like a year ago, right, Tino? About a year ago now. And they were good. Hey, they were very good because you can choose any toppings you want. So Five Guys, very good. They just opened one in Valencia the other day. Valencia. Last week, I think. Five Guys. It might be my favorite in Madrid. It might be. I don't know. But my question is, what's your favorite cheeseburger? Where does your, hamburger? Okay, hamburger, cheeseburger. So name the places because I love burgers. I'm going to be honest with you. I love burgers and I welcome your tips. If someone says, Kyle, you have to try. And of course I've tried Goico Grill is very good. Have you had that one, Tino? Goico Grill? Goico is very good. Another one I like is Mad Cafe, which is in Madrid on the Calle Cava Alta. Mad Cafe. They do a good burger. One of the classics, not far from this office, near the Cuzco Metro, is Alfredo's Barbacoa. Right? Have you had that one, Tino? Alfredo's Barbacoa? It's good.
Me encanta.
Yeah, it's tasty. It's a good burger. Alfredo's. Another one I like is, I don't know, those might be my top few. Alfredo's is very good. Goico is good. Oh, the Good Burger. TGB, the Good Burger. That's good. That is a good burger. Anyway, give me your tips. Tell me, Kyle, you got to try the hamburger at whatever. Casa Paco, whatever it is. I don't know. Give me your tips. Where do you get your favorite hamburger or cheeseburger in your city? In Madrid, in Barcelona, in Bilbao, in Zaragoza, whatever. Tell me where you are and where to get a good burger because I want to try these things. And I want to get a bit of a debate, a bit of a discussion about this going on the airwaves. So I welcome your comments on this topic. Okay, meanwhile, let's push forward. We're going to get back to this. We're going to talk about that in our trending topic, but let's go ahead with today's express. No, sorry. Why don't we go ahead with the warm-up gym?
The warm-up gym.
All right, now that you're awake, let's work on the ways together, okay? So give me really good posture, and don't tell me you can't do this because, see, I know you can. Here we go, side crawls, one.
All right, we got a new jingle. I love it, Tino. This is a surprise for me. This is the first time I heard this jingle.
Trisky, trisky.
All right, here we are warming up, right? Calentando un poquito los músculos y tal. All right. All right, number one. Number one. Hace calor. It's hot. It's hot, everybody. Hace calor, it's hot. Okay. Number two. Las moscas son necesarias. flies are necessary. Las moscas son necesarias. Flies are necessary. Number three. Las universidades son caras. Universities are expensive. Universities are expensive. Number four, los coches son peligrosos. Cars are dangerous. Yeah, cars are dangerous. Number five. Ya saben lo que ocurrió. They already know what happened. Ya saben. They already know what happened. Number six. Esta semana ha sido muy agradable. This week has been very pleasant. Very pleasant. Number eight. ¿Cuánta gente había en la tienda? How many people were there in the shop? ¿Cuánta gente había en la tienda? How many people were there in the shop? En la tienda. Okay, number nine. Let's raise the level here. Let's raise the bar. Vamos a subir el nivel un poquito. Let's raise the bar here. Let me see here. Let me pick a good one. Hemos sufrido muchas lesiones esta temporada. We've suffered a lot of injuries, lesiones, injuries, this season. Okay, and finally, number 10. Ni siquiera sé quién eres. I don't even know who you are. Ni siquiera sé quién eres. I don't even know. I don't even know who you are. All right, there you go. Now we're warmed up. We had some exercise. That's our exercise music, right? We're warming up, right? Anyway. Okay. Tricky music.
Ah, por supuesto, caballero.
Yeah, it's tough. Maybe it's distracting. I don't know. Is it distracting? Anyway, we'll experiment with the music. Hopefully you can stay focused. All right. Okay, I'm waiting for tips, tus consejos. I'm waiting for your tips about good places to go for burgers. Where's the best hamburger in your city? Any tips? Any favorite spots? Patricia says, I don't like them very much, but I'll follow your advice whenever I go. Well, thank you, Patricia. But give me some tips, folks. Burger lovers, food lovers, foodies. If you know a good spot to have a hamburger, tell me. Let me know. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at today's trending topics.
Trending topics!
Trending topic today, it is National Cheeseburger Day. National Cheeseburger Day. Today's one of the cheesiest days of the year. And restaurants across the United States are celebrating this day with discounts and even free burgers at places like Five Guys, Wendy's, McDonald's, and others. And there was a survey in the United States about people's favorite place, favorite burger, favorite fast food burger. And a lot of people, about 25% chose Five Guys as their favorite cheeseburger. 21% chose Wendy's. Now, Wendy's was in Madrid years ago, right, Tino? A lot of people have told me there was one in Cuatro Caminos. I like Wendy's. I like that burger. It's good. 20% chose McDonald's. I like the McDonald's cheeseburger. I actually had one in China. I ate a McDonald's cheese, like the basic, the small one. Another one, which is common on the West Coast, called In-N-Out Burger, was from the West Coast, that came in number fourth place with 15%. But yeah, I don't know. My favorite in Madrid, I might say Five Guys. It's down on Gran Vía. There's a couple of them in Madrid now. I think there's one in Nuevos Ministerios as well. But anyway, so the history. What is the history of the cheeseburger itself? And apparently, the hamburger. Well, the hamburger, this actually remains. It continues to be one of the cheapest beef in the country, or in the Western world. Let's say hamburgers have been very popular, and the idea of adding cheese to hamburgers became popular in the late 1920s to the mid 30s. And who invented the cheeseburger? Well, this is debatable, but there's a young man named Lionel Sternberger who apparently invented the cheeseburger in 1926 at the age of 16 when he was working as a cook at his father's restaurant in California. It was called The Right Spot. And experimentally, he dropped a piece of American cheese on a hot burger and tried it, and he said, "Ooh, this is good." And cheeseburgers started appearing on menus in other restaurants in 1928, including in Los Angeles, which listed a cheeseburger in 1928 for 25 cents. Other restaurants claimed to have invented the cheeseburger, including one called Keelan's in Louisville, Kentucky. They say they invented the burger in 1934. And a year later, they trademarked, or the name cheeseburger was trademarked by the Humpty Dumpty drive-in restaurant in Denver, Colorado. So there you go. I don't know if they have the pat, if they have the trademark for that, then I don't understand how other restaurants can be using the name, the word cheeseburger, if someone has a trademark on it. So maybe the trademark expired. It's kind of like in Spain, how there's the brand of donuts called Donuts, and there's a trademark on it. So I don't know. I don't know how you can trademark the word donut. It's like trademarking the word, tortilla, and saying, "Oh, no one can sell anything called a tortilla because we paid for the trademark." To me, I don't understand that. But this is why Dunkin' Donuts in Spain is now called Dunkin' Coffee, because the name donut is trademarked to this company that sells the donuts, los donuts, right? In the little yellow pack, everybody knows them. Anyway, there you go, folks. A little bit of the history of the cheeseburger as we celebrate National Cheeseburger Day. And speaking of that, I want to return to my question. People are starting to write in. And let me know where your favorite cheeseburger is from, where your favorite cheeseburger comes from. What's your favorite cheeseburger? What place serves the best cheeseburger, your favorite, in your opinion? Valentino says, "Kyle, the new jingle is very interesting." He's talking about the jingle for the warm-up gym. "The new jingle is very interesting. I haven't gotten used to it. I can tell from his rhythm." Yes, I was distracted. It was a little distracting for me, but we'll deal with that. Ben says, "My favorite place to eat a delicious and tasty hamburger in Madrid is Panting Grill. It's located at Echegaray Street. I highly recommend it." Cool. I haven't heard of that one, Belen. Cool. I like discovering new places. I'm going to go try that. Panting Grill. Echegaray, number 10, Echegaray. Jimmy, our old friend Jimmy, says, "The best cheeseburger I've tasted has been at home. My wife is an excellent cook." Nice. You'll have to invite me over someday, Jimmy. Tino and I will come over for burgers, right? Just kidding. Okay, so here we are, folks. Keep sending in your responses. If you have comments, thoughts about where to get the best hamburger in the city, let me know. And why don't we move on and take some vocabulary? Let's get a little vocabulary music, shall we? That's right. Vocabulary. And because it's National Cheeseburger Day, why not take a look at some fast food, comida rápida, fast food vocabulary. I try to avoid it. I do. But every once in a while, right? De vez en cuando. Una vez al año no hace daño. Once a week, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. All right, so you got the hamburger, la hamburguesa, hamburger. Hamburguesa con pollo, o de pollo. Chicken burger. Chicken burger, of course. Vegetarian. Now, veggie burger, if it's vegetarian, doesn't have meat, we'd call it a veggie burger. Not a veggie, but veggie. With the V, veggie. Now, on the top and bottom of the burger, you have the bun. Like, I guess you say el bollo, right? Bun. Bun, el pan. The bun, B-U-N. And the bun, let me tell you, is a very important part of the burger. A lot of places I find they focus so much on the meat and they neglect the bun. They don't have a good bun and it ruins the experience. So, tips, if you're looking for a good burger, go to a place with a good bun or make one with a good bun. Mostaza, mustard. Common topic. Mustard. Now, you could have also another thing in the fast food world, the old hot dog, perrito caliente. Do you like those, Tino? Tino says not so much, but I like a good hot dog every once in a while. Now, of course, you can have a regular sandwich like a bocadillo, which we would call a sub or a submarine sandwich. Tino often has one in the afternoon. Club sandwich is one of my favorites. You say the same in Spanish, club, right? Club sandwich. Taco as well. It can be a taco or also a wrap because it's literally wrapped up, como envuelto, right? And inside the wrap, you have the filling. El relleno would be the filling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, filling. Other things you could have, the British love their fish and chips, pescado y patatas fritas, right? Fish and chips. Another thing you can get at fast food restaurants is ribs, right? Costillas. I like these a lot. Ribs. R-I-B-S. Ribs. Las costillas. So you can get beef ribs. You can get pork ribs. But they're very common. Although I wouldn't necessarily always say fast food. To me, fast food is a place where you do not have table service. You do not have a waiter, right? You have you go to the counter and you use the plastic tray. To me, that's fast food. Like, to me, a place like TGI Fridays, for example, that's not, I mean, in my opinion, that is not fast food because there are waiters, they come to the table. Sure, they serve burgers and things, but it's not like a McDonald's where you have the plastic tray. So anyway, there you have it, folks. That's some of the vocabulary from the world of fast food. Oh, also pizza. Pizza can be fast food. And that's something that has certainly popped up, that has appeared in Madrid and around Spain, is this late night pizza. I remember when I first came to Spain 14 years ago, I came to Spain, and it was very tough to find pizza or food late at night. But now there are all these pizza places that sell pizza by the slice. Un trozo, we say a slice of pizza. So pizza by the slice. And there are a lot of companies that offer that now as fast food. And it's a good business. I always said, you know, why don't I open one of these? Why doesn't someone open a pizza place late at night selling pizza? It's like in my hometown in Canada, or my home city, let's say, of Halifax, on the east coast of Canada, there's a intersection they call Pizza Corner. And there are three or four pizza places right on a corner, and everybody goes there late at night. And it's like a tradition. If you go out on the town, you end up at Pizza Corner getting a slice of pizza, and it's sort of part of the weekend experience. All right, we're going to take a break, everybody. It's time for a short break, but we'll be back in just a couple minutes with plenty more of the Drive Time show. Lots to cover, and interactive sections and plenty more. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Esta es tu radio, una radio diferente, divertida, donde informarte para descubrir, aprender, una radio única como tú. Esto es Vaughan Radio. Si necesitas un asesoramiento personalizado, ven a la nueva tienda de Vaughan, en la calle Orense 69, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. Y si eres de los perezosos, entra en vaughantienda.com, ahora envío gratis. Consulta condiciones.
right, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive Time Show. Kyle Miller here with the second half hour. You're listening to Vaughn Radio. Of course, we are Los del Inglés, right? And here we are. I'm in Madrid, and today we're going to, we're going to start off this half hour by taking a look back in history, back at this day. We're talking about the 18th of September, today in history.
Today in history.
Today in history, it was this day in 1981 that a Canadian shopping center set a world record for the largest parking lot. Now, there's a record for everything, right? Largest parking lot, 20,000 cars can fit in the lot at West Edmonton Mall, giving it a spot in the Guinness Book of Records as the largest parking lot in the world. But the mall has also held other records. At one time, it was the world's largest shopping mall at 5.2 million square feet, or about 48 city blocks. The world's largest indoor amusement park, the world's largest indoor water park as well. They have a big, big water park in there. The West Edmonton Mall has more than 800 stores, 100 restaurants, 19 movie theaters. It also has a full-size skating rink. The professional hockey team there, the Edmonton Oilers, sometimes practice there. Two hotels. Oh, my gosh. Everything. I've never been there. I've never been to Edmonton. But home of one of the biggest, still one of the biggest shopping centers, shopping malls in the world. And let's go back a few more years to 1960. Fidel Castro. It was this day in 1960 that Fidel Castro arrived in New York City as the head of the Cuban delegation to the United Nations. And his visit stirred up. It caused some anger, indignation, and admiration from different sectors of American society, and was climaxed by his speech to the United Nations a few days later on September 26th. By the time Castro arrived in New York City in September of 1960, relations between the U.S. and Cuba were already deteriorating, right? They were reducing. They were deteriorating. Since taking power in January of 1959, Castro made people angry. He infuriated the American government with his policies of nationalizing U.S. companies and investments in Cuba. Some American officials and President Richard Nixon believed that Castro was leaning towards communism. Yes. In March of 1960, President Dwight Eisenhower ordered the CIA, which, by the way, stands for, que significa, which stands for the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, to start training Cuban exiles to overthrow Castro's regime. When the U.S. Suspended the import of Cuban sugar in 1960, Castro's government turned to the Soviet Union for economic assistance, and the Russians were happy to help out. Yes. 1973, something interesting happened on this day in 1973. U.S. President Jimmy Carter filed a report to the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. The NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, claiming that he had seen a UFO. He said, I saw a UFO. You say in Spanish, un ovni, right? UFO, unidentified flying object. And he said he had seen it 4 years before, in October of 19... During the presidential campaign of 1976, Carter, who was a Democratic challenger, was very open about his belief that he had seen a UFO. He described waiting outside a club meeting in Leary, Georgia at 7:30 p.m. and he said, the darndest thing I've ever seen in the sky. Strangest thing, the darndest thing I've ever seen in the sky. Now, Carter, as well as 10 or 12 other people witnessed the same event, described the object as very bright, with changing colors about the size of the moon. And Carter reported that the object hovered, right, to hover, right, to sit floating without moving, to hover. And it hovered about 30 degrees above the horizon and moved in towards the Earth and away before disappearing in the distance. Now, he later told a reporter that after the experience, he vowed, he promised never again to ridicule, to criticize anyone who claimed to have seen a UFO. During the presidential campaign of 1976, Jimmy Carter promised that if he was elected, he would encourage the government to release every piece of information about UFOs available to the public and to scientists. After winning the presidency, though, Carter backed away from his pledge, saying that the release of some information may have defense implications and pose a threat, amenaza, a threat to national security. There you go. That's interesting. And here we saw, in two of these stories, we saw the use of acronyms, and I said it stands for. So when we say que significa, we often say it stands for. What does that stand for? So UFO stands for unidentified flying object. We saw the CIA. The CIA stands for the Central Intelligence Agency. We say UCLA. You say UCLA, right? But we in English, we don't typically pronounce acronyms as words like you do in Spanish. You say, oh, he went to UCLA. Very smart. He went to UCLA. No, he went to UCLA. So we typically pronounce these acronyms according to the individual letter. And when we say, ¿qué significa eso? We say, what does that stand for? So we have the phrasal verb there, to stand for. Okay. So there you go, folks. That is today in history. Some interesting things, including Fidel Castro arriving in the United States on this day in 1960. And President Jimmy Carter filing a report saying he saw a UFO. And officially filing that report on this day in 1973. Interesting. All right, folks, we have a special treat for you. Oh, boy, we have a big announcement. We have a big announcement, and we have a guest joining us on the phone. It's the one and only Alberto Alonso. Are you there, Alberto?
That's right, Kyle. I'm here. How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you? Now, the listeners at home, our regular Vaughn Radio listeners, of course, all know you, Alberto, and they know that you have been off for quite some time with a broken leg, a very serious injury. Mm-hmm. And how's the leg? First of all, how is the rehab coming along, the rehabilitation?
Actually, I'm at rehab right now. So as we speak, I'm working on getting better, so... I'm not fully recovered. These kind of injuries can take up to a year without complications. I'm strong enough to do the radio show. I just can't run. I can't walk fast yet. I can't ride a bike, but little by little, I'll get stronger and stronger, but it's going to still take a lot more time to get fully recovered. But, that's expected.
Right. And how long have you been, attending physio sessions?
Well, the accident happened on May 8th, which is about 5 months ago or so. And I started rehab in July, because the first 2 months you really can't even move. You can't bend it. You can't move it. It's hard. So, you do some stretches. You do some exercises laying down. But until you can put some weight on it, as they say, carga, you can put some weight on it. You can put a load. That's usually a couple months after. So, and little by little, Kyle, it's going to be no snowboarding for me anytime soon, no basketball, no sport, no running, but little by little, I hope to get stronger so I can, be 100% better and be able to do all the things I used to do.
Yeah, great.
And I'm saying that from rehab. So
yeah, and the rehab is so essential. I had a problem, you know, not nearly that serious, but a problem with my shoulder over the last few months actually, and I found going to rehab was so essential. And you really have to listen to the professionals, put in the effort, do it, and it pays off. Because some people don't do the rehab properly, and then they have, you know, pain forever, right?
Well, I did everything, Kyle, and I'm doing everything, as we say in English, by the book.
Yeah.
So if I have three doctors that are caring for me, I have several physiotherapists, and then I do all my work here. I do about an hour and a half of work here a day, and then I also at home today, I was on the exercise bike.
Yeah.
Or stationary bike, we could say. I do about a half an hour there and stretches and, well, you know. As I said, there's a lot of work ahead until I'm as strong as I used to be. But I'm strong enough to do the show with no name. I'm excited to get back on the air. And it's going to be a great, great show tomorrow. I've already finished the script. And Juanjo is taking care of all the, you know, the audio cues and all that. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great to be back on the air after almost 5 months.
Right. So that's the big news here, that tomorrow is the return, right?
Yep. Tomorrow, 10:30 a.m.
There you go,
I
folks.
I announced it on Twitter just moments ago, in fact.
Fantastic.
We'll be back. So it's going to be great. You know, we've got a whole new season. It's our 10th season, which is blows my mind just to say that. 10th season on the air. And we're going to be using the hashtag show with no name X, like the iPhone 10, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
SWNNX, because it used to be called show with no name when it was an hour and it was a 2 hour show. It became show with no name 2.0.
Yeah.
And now in the 10th year, we're show with no name X.
All right.
Which could mean X rated too. You can expect some X rated stuff, as many people pointed out jokingly.
Nice. Well, okay, I'll be tuned in myself. I'm looking forward to that.
I spoke to Rob before, and we will be broadcasting it live, so you can watch the show as well as listen to it tomorrow on Vaughn Radio and TV Facebook.
On Facebook, too. Cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So it'll be a special day, of course, I think, for the listeners, as I've been receiving so many comments. Special day for myself. And I'm really looking forward to it. And, getting stronger every day, man. So
well,
we can continue teaching English in the trenches, las trincheras.
Absolutely, as we do. But that's really exciting news for a lot of reasons. Of course, yesterday was my first show of the season, and it's always fun kicking off a new season and coming back full of energy, full of ideas. And in your case...
Right.
You're kicking off the season, and it's also your 10th season, which is special, and also very special because of your injury and the time that you've been off. So getting back to the normal routine must be something you're really excited to do.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, and I think it wasn't just the listeners, but I think there's this mutual thing. For the last 10 years, I've been spending my mornings with these students you know, I'm not going to mention names just so no one feels left out, but I can give you 20 names right now of students who have been with us for some of them 2 or 3 years and some of them as long as 10 years who have been on board learning with us. And it's been quite an adventure. So when they're not there, I feel like my mornings are not the same. And I know that that's a mutual feeling. I feel like we've become a part of each other's mornings.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
that's great.
I expect the comments from these guys. And so it was very difficult. You know, hardly having energy to speak and all that. When, you know, especially it's not just the physical pain, but it's, you know, the mental suffering. You try and stay positive, but it's a constant struggle to stay positive when you're in pain.
Yeah, of course. Of course,
you know?
Of course.
So, and you're thinking, I just want to go have some beers with the guys, but you're thinking, I don't want to get the wheelchair out and I don't want to, you know what I mean? So I don't want you stress out when there's a lot of people. So it's been a very difficult, this is a good word we can teach, Kyle, trying.
Yeah.
It's been a trying time, a trying period, and it's not over yet. I still have a long way to go until I'm fully recovered, but I'm on the right track.
Yeah, good. Excellent. So yeah, trying, that is a good adjective, trying, which means challenging, and it's something that has, you know, challenged your abilities and been...
Think about the word trying, you know, it's putting me to the test, you know, to see, you know, how much I can take, you know. And so far, as I said, I'm recovering little by little, and this, like everything, will pass.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope to go snowboarding one day, and I hope, you know, to, as I said, go back to my life before the accident.
Yeah.
Not just the work aspect. I'm looking forward to that, too.
Of course.
Also returning to my favorite hobbies and really just, as I said, living a normal life and not feeling limited in any way.
Back to normality. Yes.
Yep.
I can understand how that would be something you must be really looking forward to. And tomorrow it's a big step, you know, getting back professionally back to what you do.
I'm antsy, Kyle. You know me very well. I'm very antsy. So for somebody like me to be laid out for 2 months, you know.
Antsy. That's a good word, too. Antsy. It's like you're inquieto, I suppose, in a way, right?
Yeah, I'm restless.
Restless, antsy. Yeah. You want to get back to
around.
It. Yeah. Well, hey, Alberto, I will be tuned in. I will be tuned in tomorrow as well. And, you know, great news. When you told me that this morning, I was excited and very happy for you that you feel well enough to get back in the saddle, as we say, and get back on the airwaves. So that's fantastic news.
Yeah,
and
looking forward to it.
Something to be excited about.
Totally looking forward to, which is, as I said, a blessing that I can say that about a job. You know, I'm looking forward to returning. You know, so it really is a wonderful thing. And we're going to have a really special show and a very special 10th anniversary season.
Yeah.
And I also want to remind you guys, in November, we're still working on planning. It's not easy. We're going to have a party, so we'll keep you posted with more information about that, too.
You got it. And of course, count on me to help you promote that and mention that event
well,
and I'll be there.
I count on you to have some beers with me.
Of course. Of course, my friend. Oh, Alberto, before I let you go, I have a question that I threw out to the listeners today, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this question, if you've got a minute.
Okay. Go ahead.
Today is in the U.S., National Cheeseburger Day.
Okay. That's a yummy day.
So it is. So I've posed the question to the audience, and people are writing in with their opinions. Where is your favorite, is your favorite burger in your city? So in this case, in Madrid.
It's a tough one because 10 years ago, I don't think this was. I think this was an easy one.
Yeah, and I think that as well. You had places like Alfredo's Barbacoa, Mad Cafe is very good. Mm-hmm. Anything else come to mind as a standout hamburger in Madrid?
I've got to say, I know it's a chain and everything, but I'm a big fan of the Hard Rock.
Okay.
Cafes, Black Angus Burger. I'm a big Black Angus fan. You can taste the difference.
Okay, nice. You can taste the difference. There you go.
You know, and then you got your Fridays. I know they're chains, but again, you got that Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce, which you know you put that with bacon and some onion and whatever, and you're licking your lips.
Yeah, we've got that was the same. Joaquin wrote in and he said, "If you ever come to Seville, give me a buzz, and I'll take you to the Hard Rock Cafe."
They really do have good burgers. I mean, they have a couple different options. Last time I went there, the menu that you could get just a normal run-of-the-mill burger, or you could get yourself like a super-duper, you know, Black Angus, the way it should be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because as you say, you can taste the difference.
You can really taste the difference, you know, in quality ingredients, not just meat.
Yeah.
Any, you know, good vegetables, good, you know. Good quality raw materials, you can taste the difference.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Well, there you go. I don't think I've ever had a burger at the Hard Rock Cafe, at least in Madrid. So I'm going to have to.
Why? Because we don't go because it's touristy, you know, especially in your own city.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it's cool to have a Hard Rock in your city. Not everybody has a Hard Rock in their city. So
that's true.
You know, it's cool. And especially if you like music. Because I remember when I was a kid, going to Hard Rock in New York City was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
I would wander around and read everything on the walls and look at
it.
So, you know, now we think we're too big or you know, but it's always cool to go back to Hard Rock. It brings back memories, at least for me.
Sure. Sure it does. Sure it does.
So you got rock and roll, cheeseburgers. You know, you can't go wrong with that.
Things we like. Rock and roll and cheeseburgers. Sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm getting hungry, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, hey, Alberto, maybe I'll leave it at that because we just have a couple minutes before we go to our next break, and I've got to move on. But thanks for your time. And just a reminder for the listeners, 10:30 tomorrow morning right here on Vaughn Radio, the return of the show with no name, kicking off the 10th season with Alberto Alonso. Yeah. He's back in action. All right.
Okay. Well, thanks, Kyle. Thank you, listeners. And we'll check you out tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Alberto. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Okay. There you go, folks. Our old buddy, Alberto Alonso. And Alberto and I have been very good friends for a very long time since starting out in radio here at Vaughn. And always great to connect with Alberto. Always great to join his show. And when he joins mine, we always have a good time. So Alberto suffered a terrible accident, like he said, 5 months ago, and has been off work for 5 months. And I visited him many times, and I know he has put in the effort necessary to heal as well as possible. And it's great news for everyone that he's coming back. I'm really happy for him as a friend to see that he's able to come back to work tomorrow. And for listeners, it's always a treat to have Alberto on the air. So you can tune in tomorrow morning at 10:30 as usual. The old slot from 10:30 to 12:30 in the morning. That's the show with no name. Starting, as he said, the 10th season of the show with no name tomorrow morning at 10:30. Right here on Vaughn Radio. Okay, we just have a couple minutes, but I want to just comment. People are writing in with also the Twitter translation. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Se les pidió no fumar. Se les pidió no fumar. And a lot of people are writing in. Jesus says they were asked not to smoke. He says they were asked or they were required not to smoke. But yeah, it should be they were asked. Se les pidió. So that's a correct answer. Now, Valentino writes in from Haiti, and he says he was told not to smoke, but it was se les pidió, les a ellos, right? So it was plural, and this is Valentino. Oh, there he is in Haiti. We got a little Haitian music for him, and he was told, but yeah, they were asked not to smoke. And we have ETTR who says they were asked not to smoke. Christina Perez. Thanks for writing in. Saeed writes in from Morocco. From our old friend Saeed writes in from Casablanca and he says they were asked not to smoke. That's better for them, he says. Regards. Little Moroccan jingle there. Tino's going deep today with the jingles. Virginia, they were asked not to smoke. Catalina, they were asked not to smoke. Ava is with us as well today. Lots of people writing in with the correct answer. So this is the passive voice. Instead of saying, I asked you not to smoke, or your mother asked you not to smoke, or the boss asked you not to smoke, it's passive. So we use this when we're trying to emphasize the subject. The subject is receiving the verb, right? The typical example I give is, you know, Kennedy was shot by Oswald. Now, who did the shooting? Oswald. Oswald shot JFK. But we say, we want to make the subject Kennedy. We want to talk about Kennedy because he's the more famous historical figure. So instead of saying, well, Oswald shot Kennedy, we say Kennedy was shot by Oswald. And that's the way we use the passive voice. So here, our Twitter translation, se les pidió no fumar. They were asked not to smoke. Now, on this day in history, another thing that happened was Jimi Hendrix passed away. We're going to take a break. I have to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to look at some of the music of Jimi Hendrix, a little chat about the great Jimi Hendrix, and we're going to look at his song, Hey Joe, from the album Are You Experienced? This came out in 1966. The song went to number 6 on the UK charts. And we're going to have a look at that song, that classic rock song from the great Jimi Hendrix in our third and final half hour of the Drive Time Show. Lots to come, everybody. in just a few minutes. Nada más que un par de minutos, eh? I promise. I'll be right back. So please don't touch that dial.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio. Atención, no te pierdas esta oportunidad. Última semana de promoción exclusiva. Llama al 911-335-833 e infórmate. Además, financiate el 100% del máster. Más información en grupovaughan.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Drive Time Show. Time now for our third and final half hour of the show for this Tuesday afternoon. And we're going to begin with a look at some of the music of the great Jimi Hendrix, who passed away on this day in 1970. Let's take a look at the song Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix in a section we call It's in the Music. So yes, it was today, 1970, that Jimi Hendrix was pronounced dead on arrival at the Mary Abbott's Hospital in London. He was 27 years old, and of course he left behind a legacy of great music, and often considered one of the greatest guitarists of all time. The cause of death was continues to be debated. Some say suicide, some even say murder, but he was apparently found. The common belief is that he had choked on his own vomit, so he had been intoxicated. But was it suicide? Who knows? But the song you're hearing is the tune "Hey Joe." The album was called "Are You Experienced." It's called "Are You Experienced." Released in 1966, this song would go to number 6 on the charts. And it wasn't written, like so many songs from the 60s, it wasn't written by the artist that made it famous. This song was written by a singer named Billy Roberts, and who was kind of part of the New York City Greenwich Village, which is a famous artistic, cultural part of New York City. The Greenwich Village folk music scene in the early 60s. And the song is structured as a conversation between two men, with Joe explaining to the other that he caught his woman cheating and he planned to kill her. They talk again, and Joe explains that he did indeed shoot his wife, and he was headed, so he killed his wife and was going to Mexico. Now, it was the slow version of the song that inspired Jimi Hendrix to record this version, which came from a folk singer named Tim Rose, who played it in a slow arrangement shortly after that, in 1966 and 67. And the song that started it all for Jimi Hendrix. He had left the U.S. Army in 1962 and worked as a backing musician, so a support musician, a support guitarist for the Illsley Brothers, and also for Little Richard. And in 1966, he performed under the name Jimmy James. And his group was called Jimmy James and the Blue Flames. He introduced the song Hey Joe to the band. They added it to their set list. And during a show in Greenwich Village, a member of the band The Animals was in the audience and saw Hendrix play it and said, I want you to record that song. I want to record it with you. This guy named Chaz Chandler of The Animals. And he convinced Jimi Hendrix to join him in London. And he became Jimmy's producer and manager. He matched Jimi Hendrix up with Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell, and he had the group known as the Jimi Hendrix Experience. They went on to record Hey Joe and release it as a single in the UK in December of 1966. It climbed to number 6 in February of 67 as Hendrix developed a reputation as an electrifying, a very exciting performer and a very innovative guitarist. Of course, Jimi Hendrix played the guitar. He played a right-handed guitar, but he played it left-handed, so the strings were upside down. And he enjoyed more success with this song in the UK, at least on the official charts. America was more difficult for Jimi Hendrix. When the song was released in the United States in April, it went nowhere. It didn't do well at all on the charts. The song incorporates elements of blues, classic chord progressions from blues-style music, and it was actually released on a little vinyl. So they, as they released these single records, you know, the 7-inch singles, the other song, the song was called Stone Free, first song that Jimi Hendrix wrote for his band, The Jimi Hendrix Experience. That was the single, and this was the B-side. So this was like the extra song, but it would go on to become his big hit, at least in the UK. And it was also the last song he performed at Woodstock in 1969. The festival was scheduled to end at midnight on Sunday, August 17th, but it ran long and Jimi Hendrix didn't go on until Monday at 9 a.m. There weren't many people left, but Jimi Hendrix delivered his now legendary performance, right? This is where Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire and all that, and he played the American national anthem and he set his guitar on fire, but he ended with this song. And Jimmy's version is the most famous, but this song, Hey Joe, has been recorded by more than 1,000 artists. More than 1,000 artists. So, like I said, he's talking about, it's this guy Joe, and he's saying, oh, I'm gonna kill my wife because she cheated on me. Terrible thing, but that's what he's saying in the song. So it goes, let's take a look at the lyrics. It says, Hey Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand? Hey Joe, I said, where are you going with that gun in your hand? He says, I'm going to shoot down my old lady. You know, I caught her messing around with another man. Yeah, I'm going to shoot my old lady down. And he said, hey, Joe, I heard you shot your mama down. You shot her down. Yes, I heard you shot your lady down. And he said, yes, I shot her down. Now I'm going. And then he goes on to explain that he's going to Mexico. He's going to go on the run, way down to Mexico. I'm going way down south, way down where I can be free. Ain't no one gonna find me. So that's American slang there. Ain't no one gonna. He should say, no one is going to find me because I'm going to run to Mexico. But he says, ain't no one going to find me. I'm going to go to Mexico. That's the premise of the lyrics of that song that was Jimi Hendrix's most famous song, Hey Joe, and Jimi Hendrix sadly passing away on this day 48 years ago today. Wow. All right, we're gonna move on, everybody. We're going to push forward. Something we didn't do yesterday, a little challenge, un reto. That's right, we didn't do this yesterday. Let's go ahead with today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge. Oh, yes. This is, you know, this part of the show. I give you the answer. Yo la respuesta y tú la pregunta. Right? I give you the answer. You ask me the question. Number one. En voz alta. Number one. He broke it last night. When did he break it? When did he break it? Number two. Nothing went wrong. What went wrong? What went wrong? Nothing. Number three. Yes, I've been to Rome. Have you ever been to Rome? Have you ever been to Rome? Number four. Peter turned the machine on. Who turned the machine on? Who turned the machine on? Well, Peter did. Peter. Number 5. I need about 3 more hours. How much more time do you need? How much more time do you need? And about 3 more hours. Number 5. We have 3 minutes left. How much time do we have left? How much time do we have left? Number 6. I've had this tie for 3 years. How long have you had this tie? Present perfect. How long have you had this tie? Number 7. I ran 4 miles yesterday. How far did you run yesterday? I ran 4 miles. Number 7. He thinks we should leave at 2 o'clock. What time does he think we should leave? What time does he think we should leave? Number 8. The man who stopped by last night lives in Lugo. Where does the man who stopped by last night live? So if you instead of saying the man who stopped by last night, if you say my brother, where does my brother live? It sounds simple, but we changed my brother to the man who stopped by last night. The man in the blue shirt who stopped by last night at 12 o'clock. Where does the man in the blue shirt who stopped by last night at 12 o'clock live? The structure is the same. Live has to go at the end. So where does that man live? Okay, number 8. It was Morgan's car. Whose car was it? It was Morgan's car. Whose car was it? Number 9. Sorry, number 9 or number 10, do you know? Let's call this number 9. Besides Tom, Peter was also involved in the plan. Who else was involved in the plan besides Tom? Oof. ¿Quién más? Who else? Okay. Finally, number 10. We have 100 envelopes left. How many envelopes do we have left? Sobres. ¿Cuántos sobres nos quedan? Nos sobran. No, nos quedan. How many envelopes do we have left? Very good. Very good. I know that's a challenging exercise. It's not easy. It's tough. But if you work with it every day, I promise you will make progress. You will improve. And I have included that exercise in my book. My first book is called The Verb Circus, Los Verbos Esenciales del Inglés. And I include that exercise with audio as well. Like so many Vaughn books, the audio is downloadable, descargable. So it saves you the cost of the CD, and you can work with those challenges, saying them out loud. And you can also get today's program, like every other Drive Time show, at evox.com, ivoox.com, and you can get the audio and listen to the shows again and work with those challenges. I recommend you practice with those challenges to gain fluency, gain agility with the interrogative form. Okay, we are going to move on, everybody. Let's take a look at today's awesome adjective.
A, amazing. B, beautiful. C, cheap. D, dirty. E, expensive. F, friendly. G, good. H, happy. I, interesting. J, jealous.
Awesome adjectives.
All right, our awesome adjective today is handy. We have an expression, resulta útil. It comes in handy. It comes in handy. And so handy means útil. It means useful, but also, you know, like a tool that does a job very well. It really comes in handy. I think having a, it would be handy if, I wish we had a coffee machine here in the studio. It would come in handy. It would be handy. So to be handy, or very often, most often I'd say, we say to come in handy, resultar útil. But you can also say a person is handy. Oh, he's very handy. It means he can build things. Do you say manitas, Tino? If someone is good at putting things around the house, do you say that? Un manitas. Yeah, he's good at when the refrigerator's broken. Oh, he's not going to call anyone. He'll fix it himself. Or he's going to fix the plumbing. He's going to do things, you know, because he's very handy. Handy. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Valentino says, this word mess. He's asking a question about the word mess. There's a lot of casual meanings, depending on the preposition. In the song, doesn't mess around to have informal sexual intercourse. To mess around on someone, yes. She was messing around from the song by Jimi Hendrix. That's correct. Sometimes we say fooling around. Not necessarily sexual intercourse, but some sort of, like a relationship, having a relationship with someone. Some romantic involvement. So, yes. Okay. Interesting thing. Yeah, but to mess up. Preposition mess up, that means with the preposition up, that phrasal verb means like to ruin. Like, oh, I messed up the dinner. I was cooking chicken and I burnt it. I cooked it for too long and I messed it up. I spoiled it. So to mess up. To mess around. To mess around can also be like, oh, stop messing around. Stop wasting time. Stop doing some distracted behavior. So there are a few different phrasal verbs with the verb to mess. But thank you, Valentino, for writing in. Okay, so that is our awesome adjective, handy. We talked about that, handy. Someone can be handy means they're useful, they're good at fixing things. But an item or a tool can be handy, útil, we say as well. All right, let's go ahead with a section we haven't done in a while. I like business, in fact, so much that I wrote the book on it. Let's go ahead and get down to business.
Buy, buy, buy.
Sell. Buy 1,000.
Buy it now.
How much does it cost?
Come to my office.
What a bargain.
Meeting starting in 5 minutes.
Buy, buy, buy.
Buy, buy,
buy.
Let's get down to business.
Let's get down to business. And today I want to talk about something that is in my book called Business English, which, by the way, is available now from the Vaughn shop, the Vaughn tienda. And I have chapters in this book about advanced business topics, I've called them, which are, I include marketing, economics, accounting, marketing, finance, and investing, and insurance. It's all included in this book called Business English. So if you're looking to improve in those areas, there are translation sentences, vocabulary lists, and also general discussion of those business areas. But today I'm in the marketing chapter, the marketing section, and I want to talk about competitive advantage, which is an important concept in marketing and an important concept in business. And competitive advantage talks about an advantage that you have, your company may have over competitors, that comes from offering greater value, maybe by setting lower prices or providing more benefits that justify higher prices. So usually it's either lower prices or better quality. So an example would be Amazon. For example, it would be very difficult for me to open a business because Amazon is so big that they have established. Another idea here is economies of scale. They've gotten so big that their costs per unit have gone down. So they can do that job. They can ship things to people very, very cheaply. So Amazon has a competitive advantage. And that competitive advantage creates what we call a barrier to entry in that market. So it's very difficult for me to start a website. I can't start a, well, I could try, start a website shipping things, books and DVDs and all sorts of things, food products and all these things to people. But I wouldn't compete with Amazon because they're so big, they've optimized things, and they have a competitive advantage. Now, if you have a business, it's very important with your marketing plan to establish, if you're going to have a competitive advantage, what that should be. Are you going to be focused on price? Are you going to be focused on quality? Are you going to be focused on, you know, being in the right areas geographically? What are you going to focus on? And selecting the right competitive advantages can be very challenging. Some people think that companies should only promote one benefit to the target market, but others think they should position themselves based on more than one differentiating factor. And this is why, you know, it's the best watch company isn't necessarily the company that produces the best watches. You know, I'm sure there's a watch that costs 10,000 euros that's a lot better than the watch on my arm, but I didn't buy that one because I couldn't afford it. I bought the watch that I bought because it was something that I could afford and I found value. So it's difficult. Companies have to decide, well, are we going to be focused on quality? Are we going to be focused on price? What are we going to be? How are we going to differentiate? So what is clear, though, is that a company has to carefully select the ways that it will stand out. A difference is typically worth establishing if it makes the product superior, if it's important, if it's distinctive, and something that they can communicate to buyers. So sometimes products have, like food products, maybe have certain characteristics that are great, but the market doesn't understand them. So in your marketing plan, you have to convey ideas that are understandable. An example also is Google, for example, which is very successful, got very successful by linking very specific search results and content with text advertisements. Gillette has been able to establish lifelong relationship with loyal customers based on clever marketing with razors and similar products, but basic products that people get accustomed to. They say, well, I shave every day with a Gillette razor. I'm happy with it. I don't demand greater performance. I don't demand more, but I've always had a good experience. So they're going to keep buying it, and they'll keep buying it forever, maybe. And companies like that tend to do very well. Companies that can get the customers kind of addicted to their brand, and the customer has no reason to ever change, and they gain a lifelong customer. So when you have this long-term competitive advantage, it's called as a sustainable competitive advantage. And a perfect example is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola might be is certainly one of the world's most recognized brands. Almost 120 years after incorporating the company, it continues to be one of the most desired stocks as well on the stock exchange. It always seems to do well. And a lot of factors have helped Coke achieve and sustain its competitive advantage. It has its unique recipe. It also has this ability to always develop new products and reinvent the old ones. Coca-Cola now offers over 400 brands in 200 different markets worldwide. So right, they're coming out with other brands, with other products, other drinks. And they also have possibly the world's greatest distribution system. Right, you can be in China, you can be in neighborhoods of Madrid, or you can be in New York City, or you can be in small towns. You'll see Coca-Cola trucks everywhere doing their own distribution, bringing Coca-Cola to people even in the most remote parts of the world. They also have super efficient production systems that minimize cost and maximize profit margins. So it's very difficult to get into the drink business and compete against Coke because they've got their costs absolutely optimized. So based on their cost structure and all these other factors, they have achieved what they call a sustainable competitive advantage, which is an important concept for marketing, an important business concept. All right, we're just about out of time today. I want to thank you very much for listening. The music tells us that we're done. But don't worry, the fun will continue because Dave Boyes is here for the salad, everybody. Dave will be with you in just about 4 minutes. Nada más que cuatro minutos. And I'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thanks for listening, folks. And I have lots of choices with how to spend your time. And I thank you for deciding to invest a little time with your English this afternoon and with us here at Vaughn Radio and with the Drive Time Show. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Descubre. Aprende. Esto es Vaughan Radio.